Welcome to the AOA Future in Orthopedic Surgery podcast series. This AOA podcast series will focus on the future in orthopedic surgery and the impact that we will have on leaders in our profession. These podcasts will focus on the vast spectrum of change that will occur as the future reveals itself. We will consider changes as they occur in the domains of culture, employment, technology, scope of practice, compensation, and other areas. This is Doug Lundy, host of the podcast. Joining us today is Dr. Alex Jahangir, who is an orthopedic trauma surgeon at Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Nashville, Tennessee. Alex wrote a book called Hotspot, A Doctor's Diary from the Pandemic, which details his experience as the chair of the Board of Health and of the COVID-19 Task Force in Nashville, Tennessee, back in the pandemic. Dr. Jahangir, welcome to the podcast.
It's such a pleasure to be here with you all today. Thank you, Doug.
My pleasure. And Alex and I have been friends a long time because we're both trauma surgeons and we've crossed paths many times. And I did my fellowship in Nashville. So, Alex, the point of our topic today in the change of culture is the governmental influence on change of culture. And listeners may be thinking, now, how are y'all going to tie that together? But you had a very interesting experience. Somewhat horrifying, somewhat tear-provoking, somewhat joyful. As I read through your book, which was absolutely spellbinding, I absolutely loved your book, and it gave the tremendous shifts of emotion, of stress, of victory, of defeat, of everything that you went through in your role in Nashville. Can you briefly tell us about your role in Nashville and some of the experience that you had back during the pandemic? And how you got into that as an orthopedic surgeon of all things.
Yeah. So, you know, in 2017, Doug, I was asked to join the National Board of Health, which I think that's a fair question. Is how the heck did an orthopedic surgeon get involved in the Board of Health, an organization which in the city of Nashville was responsible for all the public health departments to everything from air quality to animal control. But I was asked by the mayor to do this, and I humbly agreed to serve. As I think most orthopedic surgeons, we always say yes when we get an opportunity. In October of 2019, I took over as chair with the one goal of hiring a new director for the department. We hired a new director, and that director took over on March 9th, 2020. Well, in Nashville, just like the rest of the country, the first people testing positive for COVID happened a few days earlier. So by dumb luck and happenstance, the first person in Nashville tested positive on March 7th, 2020. And at that point, the mayor asked if I'd be willing to help him lead the response, because the new director who was here from New York, while he had his responsibilities, didn't understand the full dynamics of Nashville. And so I ended up heading the task force, and that COVID-19 task force for the city lasted 2 years. We did hundreds of press conferences. We set up testing sites. We tested over 400,000 people, vaccinated a large percentage of our city, and set policy. And the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize, and it's fascinating, is at that time in the city of Nashville, the only person that could declare a public health emergency was the chair of the Board of Health and not even the mayor. So my signature is on that order here in Nashville. And that's how I got involved in a lot of the things that happened subsequently.
That's amazing. And when I read your book, if you can tell, I mean, it was very interesting that there were threats against you, threats against your family by some factions, some political groups or people that represented those groups in response to some of the mandates that you made in response to the pandemic, right?
That is true. And I think that goes to a lot of what we may talk about. And I think that experience of the pandemic kind of unearthed, I think, what a lot of has happened over the past decade in our society. And that's a big lack of distrust in people.
So tell me more about what you think on that.
Yeah. So I think, what I experience is people in moments of crisis, and we see this every day as surgeons, right? Moments of crisis, people react differently. A lot of people go to trusted sources, listen and process. But I think in the pandemic, we started realizing that there's some people that I think maybe didn't get all the information, maybe had incorrect information, were scared. And I think in moments of scare, we've reached a point where we have loud noises on either side of an issue, and they drive the narrative. Well, really, the people in the middle just want to try to keep their family safe, keep people safe, just get on with their life, are often not heard. And I think what I experienced was part of what a bigger problem in our society of lack of trust and lack of civility. I think where we as surgeons and physicians in general can really help change that tide is we are one of the few professions that has such a level of trust. It is amazing, the level of trust that we have. And I think most of us appreciate that the moment, the first time we wear a white coat, even as a student, and walk into a room. And now as I've been a practicing surgeon for 20 years and any of my colleagues coming in, that level of trust really, if used appropriately and used in a civil manner in which you try to understand where somebody's coming from, we can really help change the tide in some of this. And I found that during the pandemic that as well.
So that's a great intro on this. And we're talking about how the government can influence change in culture that affects us as physicians and how that will become manifest in the future. So you had definitely a political role there in Nashville. And Nashville is not necessarily just a red spot on the map, too. Y'all have both parties fairly well represented there. Am I right in that?
Well, Nashville, I'd say, is probably a center-left city, socially. But the state of Tennessee is obviously a red state. But I think if you're right in that, if you look at the statewide, we have a state that's probably just slightly center-right politically. But really, if you really look at the people from rural to urban, 70% of our state lives in rural parts of the state. But at the end of the day, if you really look at what the difference between rural and urban and other parts of the state are, is there's really not much of a difference. People just want to take care of themselves and their families and want to feel safe and secure. And I think that's what's so neat being in a trauma surgeon in Nashville. I'm able to interact with a lot of people both in the urban part and the outside. And my patients are really not that different. But politically, we lean center right as far as the state and center left as far as the city.
Yeah, but I guess what I was getting to is that there is diversity there. It's not everybody's not does not all think exactly the same.
Oh, there is diversity in politics. There's diversity in race and ethnicity. You know, one out of every, I believe, 10 Nashvillians, 12% of Nashville is foreign born. 30% of the city are African Americans. We have a large Hispanic population. And funny enough, we have the largest Kurdish population outside of Kurdistan in Nashville. So we're very diverse. Yeah, very diverse as a city in all aspects. And each of those communities, as we get into the conversation of government and culture, each of those communities respond differently to government, right? And they respond differently to how to assimilate information and act on the information.
So, and as you said before, a significant amount of this is based on trust. And as physicians, we enjoy a massive amount of trust. Hopefully we deserve that and how that goes from there. So in your role as a government official, how did you feel? I'm sure, and I know the answer because I read your book, you felt a massive burden to get it right. And your influence on the culture and your influence on the city of Nashville, and I guess that's Davidson County, right? That area?
That's right.
For you to get all that correct the right time. And I know you and I trust you, and I would vote for you any day because of your character and such. But not all of our government officials enjoy that same degree of trust. And so when we look at government influence that affects the way we practice medicine, the way that our patients interact with us, how do you see things now? How do you see things going since you've actually sat on both sides of that issue?
Yeah, this is such a, I appreciate this question because I think moving beyond the pandemic, anytime you have leaders and leaders in government specifically, like the government is asking a lot as we look at value-based healthcare and orthopedics, as we look at non-compete clauses, as we look at other regulatory some would say burdens that are put upon our profession and on our patients. I think what I learned, and I want you to say it's easy. And I think it's maybe easy because I knew I wasn't in politics I wasn't an elected official and never planned on being an elected official.
Right.
But at the end of the day, just like the patient who is at the front door and is yelling at the receptionist, all these problems we have of, how do I trust that the government's going to take care of my medical records appropriately? Or how am I going to make sure that if I give my a DNA sample, it's not going to get exploited and for something else? Or how can I make sure that if I transition to a value-based program, that my surgeon will feel empowered to give me the surgery I need so that I won't have knee pain or hip pain or whatever the condition may be? All that fundamentally comes down to trust. And so when
Right.
I sat in this really humble seat to be able to be entrusted with the people in Nashville, like I said, I was on TV every day. I gave interviews. I would go to community and talk. What people wanted to know is that I was being honest and transparent. And I think there's a friend of mine that said the same that you guys have all heard is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Right, right.
Fundamentally, I think people know when you're being sincere. And I think as leaders and as government entities, before you can ask people to take on big burdens or big fundamental changes in how healthcare is delivered or how one is paid or how one accesses the system, there has to be a trust between the two entities that are being asked to engage, right? So as a patient, you need to have trust with your physician and with your payer. As a payer and a provider, there needs to be trust. And as a government setting the rules for all of this, there needs to be a trust. And that trust comes with time, and that trust comes by giving honest back and forth and not trying to score a political point because it's cool on a Twitter for a few hours.
Well said. And as we record this, the two main front runners for the presidential ballot in November are down on the border in Texas, doing their political thing down there. Obviously, both trying to score points to gain the election in November. And when I say that, what I'm getting to is that we have governmental leaders, especially on the federal level, that attempt to influence culture. And as they influence culture, of course, it affects everything in our entire being, but especially as orthopedic surgeons, it affects our ability to relate with our patients, to interact with our patients in terms of how we take care of them and under what context we take care of them. So being, and as you point out, I think you had a great position in government because you didn't have to run for election. You had a significant position of responsibility. But being in that role there, what advice or where do you see us going as physicians in the future as government continues to do what they are doing on the federal level? How do we get together as physicians and do the right thing to influence our patients in the correct direction, regardless of what culture the government tries to influence?
Well, you know, I think this is something I might have learned from you, Doug, in all sincerity.
Uh-oh, I don't know where you're going with this, friend.
Hugh Weinstein, I mean this in all sincerity. People, you know what separates us as physicians, as PAs, nurse practitioners, nurses, is we actually have experience and stories, and we can put a face to any policy change, right? There's not a policy change that we haven't come that has been presented to us that impacts health that we can't put a story to it, right? And I think what is important is this: we know the impact of changes, and so you and I may disagree on what an impact of a policy change is, but I guarantee you both of us can have a fact-based reason for having that position. We need to have that dialogue. And I think when it comes to, I think that you brought up the example of the border. I think, leaders sometimes use what they think will help get them airtime or get press time, but really they take out the individuals impacted, right? For example, expanding healthcare in our state, which hasn't happened yet. There are faces of people I can tell you that would benefit from that. There also are people who may not benefit from that. And I think as your question was, how do we as physicians and surgeons influence that and change that culture? We need to build relationships because just as we expect politicians to be trusted by us, they need to trust us, right? They're every day, there's somebody coming and telling them something. And the motive for why they're telling them that can be vague. And so if a elected official, which is a hard job, like that's, I greatly have respect people who choose to do this as elected official at all levels. If they have a level of trust that what you are advocating for and what you're informing them is to help the greater good, I think they were more inclined to listen to you and maybe eventually actually follow your lead. And I've been very blessed to have those relationships with elected officials. And we may disagree and they may do their own thing because they're elected officials, but at least I know they've heard me. And I think as leaders, as surgeons, we need to build those relationships often and constantly help out in any way. I've been very humbly asked since the COVID thing by the new mayor. So the mayor who I did not work for to help lead his transition committee focusing on transit. Now, what would an orthopedic surgeon know about transit in a top 25 United States city? Short answer is not much. But what I do know is how to bring together really smart people and how to have a level of trust. And again, this mayor who we've developed a relationship over time. We weren't friends originally, but we are now. And he has a level of trust in my judgment. And I think I tell you all that to say, build trust with your elected officials, be honest and transparent, recognize there may be two sides to it, and bring stories. And I think that is how you start influencing the culture of the decision makers and then the culture of the community, which allows decision makers to make the hard decisions.
Do you see the political environment becoming more or less polarized?
You know, it's a hard question for me to answer because I am actually really an orthopedic surgeon, not a political theologist.
That's fair. That's fair.
I think I'm disappointed at how polarized we've become. But I think when you really sit down and look at the people really making changes, they're right there in the middle working to get the job done. And so I don't know if we're more polarized or less polarized. What I know is there's still a lot of dedicated people across the political spectrum, across city, federal, state levels that want to do the good thing for the people in which they, which whom they want to serve. The great thing is every day as a surgeon, that's literally what we committed to doing. And so what's great is we are sitting in the seat and we can do that. And we can do it honestly and transparency with this patient in the center of it and the health of our community in the center of it. And if you're always honest to that North Star, I think no matter what people may throw at you, that North Star is infallible. And that's how I try to lead now. That's how I led during the COVID is the North Star during COVID for us is how can we make sure that our community is safe and sustainable? And I'm proud to say as a city, our mortality rate was below the state and federal level. Our vaccination rates were high. And our economic recovery was faster than any other urban city in the country. And so metrics to show that the things that you do as a physician when you're advocating for things, keep those metrics so that you can show that this is the benefit of keeping that patient in the center of all discussion.
It just dawned on me that every question I have for you, you could answer the same way in terms of the governmental influence on the change in culture in the future. If I could summarize, you have two things you basically say, put the patient's interest first and maintain and develop trust. Really, that's it, right?
I think it's probably true in most things in life. But yeah, that I think that is right. I think that's because what you're asking questions about are about relationships, right? Like,
right.
How do you change? How do you change? I mean, you chair a department, right? And when you came in, I suspect there were things that culturally had been done that you probably said, you know what, we should go this way. And it takes time. And it takes that people know that you're doing this for the betterment of department and the betterment of patients. And I think that story can be shared here in my division. It can be shared in my city. It can be shared in my family. So it's all about relationships. And relationships matter and trust matters in those relationships. And we are in such a neat seat as surgeons to be able to have trust given to us sometimes when it's not even deserved. What we need to do is make sure we shepherd that trust and do with it really good, big things that our ability to do so.
And I hear a tremendous flavor of optimism in your speech in that as government continues to change and the influence on our ability to practice medicine and how that impacts our patients continues to change, we should never give up the hope of optimism that regardless of the environment, we are have the as orthopedic surgeons, we have the best job in the world and we're put in a unique seat to really help people where they are, regardless of the impact that it happens, because we can work with all comers by putting their needs first and maintaining that trust.
Yeah. Again, as you said, it's all about trust and putting patients first and also recognizing, I mean, sometimes we know the right answer. I think while I say there may be two ways of looking at something, sometimes there is the right answer. And I think instead of yelling to someone at the top of at your voice about why they're so dumb and so stupid, which is probably not accurate, by the way, describing that, it's less to have that level of civic discourse to understand where someone's coming from. And then people who truly want to resolve issues will come around sometimes to your way of thinking, or maybe your way of thinking is wrong. And I think we need to do that as a society. And we need to do that definitely as surgeons who, again, are perceived as more trustworthy people in our communities.
Do you have any predictions on how culture is going to change in the practice of orthopedic surgery as the culture of the country changes, how that will impact the practice of orthopedic surgery in the future? It's kind of the hardball. That's the hardball. That's the spitball thrown right at you.
Yeah. You know,
that's
I think
one right there.
I think as surgeons, we have to be ready to defend why we want to do certain things, right? I think there is a skepticism to everyone now, everyone in power, everyone. And so you may tell a patient, you know what, I'm going to inject your knee and not do that knee replacement right now. Be ready for that patient to say, well, are you just doing that because you're getting paid more to inject my knee? I think those questions are frustrating as a surgeon because you know your heart is good. But I think one has to realize that the world has brewed a lot of cynicism lately. And as your role as a leader and as a surgeon is taking care of that person, is ask the why. Why do you feel that that may be the case? And help somebody get there. I'll tell you, if I may go back to a COVID story to
Sure.
highlight this point. We had this early on in vaccination, we threw a pop-up vaccine for older, predominantly African American community of Nashville. And people, and it was a snowstorm, and people were waiting out in line. And this woman waiting in line probably for 45 minutes came up to the front of the line and she's like, I'm not getting the vaccine. It was very easy for us to say, well, fine, there's about 200 people behind you. But I went up to her and said, I'm just curious why. And all of us were talking, and I asked the why, and then I got to the root of her hesitation. And it was a lot of just angst from a lot of historical reasons. But when we got to the root of it, she got the vaccine and she's on her way. I happened to run into her in the street. I kid you not, 2 years later. And she remembered that and came up to me and said, you know, I'm really grateful we had that discussion. It's so easy. And we have a clinic of 100 people who we're just trying to go through. So because we're trying to keep up with all the requirements that we have to and do our charting and do our this and that, it's easy to just blow people off who you think are just making dumb decisions. And I think it's important that we ask the why, because the world is going to, there's going to be a lot more people who are going to push back against what the trusted doctor is saying. We need to not lose that reality that we still are the trusted source, and we need to ask the why question. I don't know if that's going to change quickly. I don't think it will, because it comes down to trust. I feel like people are less trustworthy in general right now. But
Right.
until you build that relationship with someone, ask the why, remember why you're doing what you're doing. And that's my, for what it's worth, an orthopedic trauma surgeon's thoughts about how to do that.
Wow. Man, this has been great. And I really enjoy you taking the time to talk with us and our listeners today. This has been a very optimistic and uplifting conversation with Dr. Alex Jahangir, who is an orthopedic trauma surgeon at Vanderbilt University and has this very unique role that he had back in the COVID-19 crisis, discussing today the effects of government influence on the change in culture and how that impacts us as orthopedic surgeons. So, Alex, thanks again for being on the podcast.
It was truly my pleasure. Thank you, Doug.